Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Boy, I love doing this. Have I told you? I love doing this. I love spouting off on my own show called Spouting Off. Karen Cataline with you, and you're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1. This is, what is it? This is our 97th show, and I don't mind telling you that, because on our 100th show, I don't know what I'll do, but we'll do something special on that show. I don't count the repeats. I don't count, but I do count when guest hosts come. And I thank Chuck and Julie very, very much. Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden, who have become really good friends. And they deserve every success. And they filled in last week on Spouting Off. And so thank you very much to them. And what an honor and a pleasure it is to be doing talk radio, and I'm doing it in a lot of places. In fact, I'm going to give you a shameless plug that I'm doing it this coming Thursday, again for Main Street Radio Network, a network that is a syndicated, what they call, boutique station. It has a couple of hundred stations around the country, both terrestrial and internet, and they have just been such a pleasure to work with and for. And I will be filling in on the Alan Nathan show once again. Alan Nathan is amazing. You got to listen to his show as well. He's amazing. But on Thursday, the day after tomorrow, I will be filling in. And boy, what an auspicious time to be filling in on talk radio with the impeachment trial. And if any of you are worried about the case, don't be. The only thing that we can possibly be worried about is that the left in this country that really controls the Democrat Party have shown themselves to be willing to do anything, say anything, cheat, lie, steal, or if you want to, lie, cheat, and steal any way they have to get rid of Donald Trump so that they can indict him before he indicts them. Finally, on Saturday, this past Saturday, we finally got to hear the first 2 hours of the Republican. No, it's not the Republican. It's Donald Trump's defense team defending against these spurious, preposterous, ridiculous charges that any decent judge, and I'm not an attorney, full disclosure, but you don't need to be an attorney to look at this case, the evidence that they don't have, and say, what the heck are they doing? They are jumping off a cliff and taking the Democrat Party with them. That's okay with me, but they're taking the country down a rat hole in the process. It amazes and shocks me the number of people that I know, either on the internet or even former friends. And they're not former friends because they disagree. They're former friends because they're disingenuous to a degree that I can't handle and that I don't allow in my personal life. Once I know someone is truly dedicated to lying, it's a character issue. Now, that is not politically correct, and we are nothing if not politically incorrect on this show. But people need to know the difference between character issues and mistakes, okay? If a person has made a career of their own credibility and yet they don't really care about telling the truth, that's something you want to pay attention to. I mean, would you do a business with such a person? Anyway, getting back to the issue at hand, the soap opera that is this impeachment trial is just amazing. I mean, if you have not run out of popcorn, I don't know. Now, I've been busy running around from one thing to another, and so I could only listen to my Sirius XM in and out of the car yesterday, Monday, the first full day of Donald Trump's defense team putting on a case. I tried to watch as much of it as I could, and I stopped everything to watch the first 2 hours on Saturday. I was delighted. It reminds me, years ago, I actually used to watch soap operas. Well, one in particular, because my mother watched it, so I watched it. And it was ridiculous and stupid and insulted my intelligence. But there's an old phrase in soap operas, make them laugh, make them cry, make them wait. And in soap operas, what they do, this is their stock in trade, is that the audience knows the secret, but the characters don't. And so they make you wait for sometimes 2 years before you finally find out whose baby it is, or someone finally declares their love when they've been quiet and they've been too scared. Remember Niles on Frasier? He was too afraid to tell his beloved, forget her name, that he loved her, and it took 9 years or something thereabouts for Niles to finally declare his love for his beloved, who he had to get divorced first, and he couldn't talk. And of course, that was one of the things that spurred people on. Well, in this case, we have finally gotten some of our payoff, and Saturday was the day. In 2 hours, they demolished the Democrats' case. I heard things I had never heard before, and they did what I was hoping they would do, these attorneys. Thank God they're not politicians. They're defense attorneys. They're trial attorneys. They understand audiences. They knew, I believe, okay, Karen, finish the sentence. That's what my husband always tells me. I believe that the Democrats went on for 21 hours because they wanted the Republicans to start on Saturday. They know people are taking their kids to soccer and they're playing sports and they're going out and they're doing errands and they can't possibly be interested. And the audiences have been dismal to begin with for this impeachment trial, which doesn't bother me in the least. But I have been acutely aware of the lengths to which the Democrats have tried to keep the Republican story quiet. This flies in the face of every tradition of jurisprudence that we have, both legal and just traditional, which is you get to hear both sides of a story before you decide. But the Democrats, because they're bullies, want to make sure that Donald Trump's voice never gets heard. And they did that in the House impeachment trial. They would not let any of Trump's witnesses in. They would not let Trump's defense attorneys even be there. This is not America, folks. This is third world railroading. Now, if they had a case, do you think they'd do that? Or would they believe that their case stands up to scrutiny and they would allow it to be stood up to scrutiny? Of course not. But there are a lot of other things that the Democrats have done and continue to do to try and shut up the opposition. Now, they do it to us every day. You know, we're talking all the time about how the media wants to make sure that you don't hear the other side or that you shut up about any opposition. I mean, this is straight out of tyranny, out of authoritarianism. There's only one way to believe. America's very heart and soul was founded on the difference of opinion, on the civil change of leadership and what do they call it? Government, the civil change of governments without having a civil war. I can't think of the term. Someone call me. Tell me what I'm trying to think of here. How desperate are these people to try to keep you from hearing and seeing the truth? Let me give you a couple of great examples. During the Democrat trial, I could at any time go to YouTube and put in live impeachment trial, and I could get 8 or more live feeds of the Democrats putting on their case. People were walking out. It was so boring. Every time I turned it on, Adam Schiff's ugly, lying face was there, lying to us once again and repeating the same thing over and over again, but just jumping up and down higher and further and with his eyes bulging. I mean, there was nothing new. It was just hysteria. And I'll admit it. There's a lot of it I just couldn't stomach. I couldn't stomach it because I watched enough of it in the House trial, and I just don't need to hear the same thing over and over again to know when it's a lie. I think they think the public is not that smart. And believe me, it doesn't take huge smarts to know when someone is jumping up and down telling you you have to believe something that you know in your heart and your mind and your basic common sense is total, utter horse pucky. That's what it is. They're trying to pull a fast one, and they're trying to do it in the most ridiculous way. Is this the best they've got? But now just try to find once the Republicans, and I keep calling them the Republicans, they're Trump's defense team. There's about six or seven of them. They're calm, they're collected, they're logical, they're rational, and they're defense attorneys, and they're trial attorneys, and they understand the audience's ability to understand facts. So just try, if you will, while the Trump defense team is putting on their case, you cannot find a live feed. I looked and hunted all over the place, could not find a live feed. I was driving home from another appointment yesterday while Pam Bondi put on a huge factual case about the phenomenal corruption, which is only now beginning to roll out. Gee, do you think that's one of the reasons they wanted to get rid of Donald Trump? Do you think Hillary would have helped them cover all this up? And believe me, folks, this is the tip of the iceberg. How can you not think it isn't the tip of the iceberg? This is part of what Democrats want to cover up. Why did they accuse Donald Trump and his team of covering? Why did they accuse the Senate impeachment trial of covering up before they even got started? Because it's out of the playbook, because you accuse people of exactly what you're doing. What are they doing? They're covering up the truth of their own corruption. People haven't connected the dots to say, yes, there was a concern about corruption in Ukraine, and guess who was engaged in the corruption? American elected officials and the children of American elected officials. You think that's a concern of a sitting president? Does it mean that if you have kids, if you're running for president and you're on the take with the most corrupt regime possibly in the world, that you have a right not to be questioned about it, that you shouldn't be questioned? Anybody in their right mind who thinks for one second that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden are not the same fungible asset, you got to be kidding me. Why do you think Hunter Biden was doing it? Well, because Joe Biden couldn't. It's one generation removed. Who do you think some of Joe Biden's assets are going to go to when he moves on to the beltway in the sky? It's going to be his sons, his kids. So, you know, this is part of what they're not saying, but I hope they do say. So while I was driving home, see, I always get back to the issue at hand here. While I'm driving home and I'm listening to Pam Bondi lay all this out, and the following attorney, which I didn't hear, but I will eventually connect some of the dots, I find out that ABC, NBC, CBS did not carry Pam Bondi's huge exposure of Biden. Gee, I wonder why not? Because they don't want you to know. And one of the things I love more than anything else is when the defense attorneys keep saying, but they didn't tell you this, but they don't want you to know. I mean, they have presented this case in the media for months before the last sham of a case, the Mueller report, which they're pretending actually came back in their favor, but did not. Robert Mueller, the great, brilliant, par excellence attorney, turned out to be a blathering idiot who didn't even know what was happening. He didn't even know what was going on in his two-year investigation. Other people were doing it for him. This, if you look at any one of these issues, you begin to see just how corrupt. When Trump called it a swamp, when people know it's a swamp in Washington, D.C., they aren't kidding. Here's another one. The moment that the Senate trial began, and it was Donald Trump's defense team's turn to have their story heard, you can see again and again that the Democrats want to cover up. That's why they keep saying it's a cover up. They want to cover up the facts in this case. They want to keep on telling a false. I'm spouting off so much. A false fairy tale of a story that has no evidence, none whatsoever. And they don't care if conservatives know that. They're talking to a different group. They're talking to their base. They're talking to corrupt Republicans who don't want to be exposed. I suspect, well, I won't mention names, but you probably know who they are. People who have gone this far this long, who are still against Trump. I'm sorry, but they've got something to protect. I would look at Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney, see, I said I wouldn't say their names, and here I'm saying them. Mitt Romney's kids are implicated. Nancy Pelosi's kids are implicated. John Kerry Lurch, his kids and his stepson are implicated. Gee, do you think they have a vested interest in getting rid of and in even reversing an election? Because there's a president there who's representing not us and not them. Well, I don't think I've told you anything you haven't known. But here's my connecting of the dots here. So the minute the Democrats turned over the case to Trump's defense team, and guess what? They wouldn't have done so. Here's the chillingest thought of all. The most chilling thought that you can think of is this. Just imagine, God forbid, if Republicans did not have a majority in the Senate. You would never hear this story. Donald Trump would be gone by now. Think about that. The only reason the Democrats had to grit their teeth and be dragged kicking and screaming into allowing Donald Trump to have a defense at all is because the Senate is controlled by Republicans, not Democrats. That's the only reason. Tell me I'm wrong. So what did they do? They wanted to distract people with this John Bolton so-called bombshell. Does anybody look at the timing of these things? They always are timed specifically to distract you from what they don't want you to see. They wanted to grab the headlines off the front page, which the majority of newspapers are happy to do, because I don't know who does the bidding of whom, but I think the Democrat Party does the bidding of the radical leftists in our media, who are more than happy to lie and to lead people into believing stuff instead of reporting the facts. The last thing they're ever going to do is report the facts. So yesterday we had a bombshell about Bolton. Oh, a big bombshell about his book. Oh, my God. And that overshadows everything. Why? Because the talking heads tell us that's what's important. It isn't important at all. And today we had another bombshell. Listen to this bombshell. You tell me if this is really a bombshell at all. John Bolton, a former national security advisor, told Attorney General William Barr that he was worried President Donald Trump had grown too friendly with the strongman leaders of China and Turkey, according to the unpublished book of Bolton's in the New York Times. He was worried. That's a bombshell? Really? John Bolton had concerns. Is this an impeachable offense to Donald Trump because his apparently disloyal national security advisor, who was asked to leave because he would not carry out and he did not agree with Donald Trump's careful and different kind of policy for foreign policy. That's why he's not there anymore. And so has anybody actually seen this unpublished book? guess what? The Democrats don't care because this accomplished the whole task. Never again will they care about Donald Trump. I mean, about John Bolton, unless they get him on the stand and he says something further to destroy Donald Trump. All they wanted was a way to take off the front page the outrageous, mind-boggling corruption that was spoken about by Donald Trump's defense attorneys. And I forgot what I was going to say. I get jumbled up with so many points in my head at one time that, I just go on and on. So there was one more, and that is that you should, I hope, I think I'm just going to pull this right out of my head here. I hope that you look again and again at the desperation with which the Democrats want you not to see, not to know, not to understand what's really going on here. And they're doing everything they can with all of their allies to do just that. And guess what? They don't have a case. I am delighted with what I'm seeing. And I don't think we need to be concerned. As I've said on talk radio and other places, my biggest concern for November of 2020 is that Democrats have been proven to lie, cheat, and steal. That's the problem. If they will go to this kind of length, if they will go to these lengths to make sure that you do not understand and you don't know the facts in the case and you don't hear the other side's story, you don't find out about Biden and the phony FISA warrants and all the rest, which you'd think is not related, but it is, then you have to ask yourself, would they bother to stop themselves from cheating in the next election when they're already trying to cheat in this election? One of the points made very, very well is that they're not just trying to invalidate the last election. They're trying to make sure Trump doesn't get on the ballot in the next election. So are these people who would cheat, who would allow illegals to vote, who would allow dead people to vote? You better believe it. I got to shut up now and go to a break, because when we come back, we have a wonderful guest joining us. And because it is so important, I'm going to talk to him a little bit about impeachment and a whole lot more about his writing. Ilad Hakim, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is a political writer and commentator and attorney. He can enlighten us more about impeachment. He's written for the Washington Examiner, the Daily Caller, the Federalist, lots of great places. So we'll have Ilad Hakim when we come back. You're listening to Spouting Off on BBS Radio, Station 1, and I'm your host, Karen Cataline. Stay with us.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Are you confused about Medicare and your options? Are you turning 65? Would you like some clarity about your options? My name is Anita McAllister. I'm a licensed agent who specializes in Medicare. Call me at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment to learn about what's right for you.
Karen Kettleen back with you, and you're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio. I am delighted. I just got to talk off air a little bit with our next guest, Elad Hakim, who we found out are fellow MOTs. And for those of you who don't know what MOT is, it's a member of the tribe. That's what I like to call it. And as you know, I like to refer to myself sometimes as putting the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. And so Mr. Hakim happens to hail from Israel. We were talking a little bit about a bombshell that is happening now, but we neither of us have had much of a chance to get into it or read the proposal. Nonetheless, Elad Hakim is a political writer, a commentator, and an attorney. His articles have been published in the Washington Examiner, the Daily Caller, the Federalist, the Algeminer, I got to read that one, the Western Journal, American Thinker, and a lot of other online publications. You can find him at the Thoughtful Conservative. .wordpress.com, and welcome Elad Hakim to Spouting Off.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great. Well, you may have heard at the beginning that I was doing a bit of a rant, a happy rant, I have to say. And you, as an attorney, I would love to get your thoughts about where you think the impeachment trial is right now. I am finally delighted that I'm getting to hear Donald Trump's story or even part of his defense. What are your thoughts on it?
I think that the defense has done a fantastic job in a shorter period of time, basically dissecting the narrative that has been set forth by the, I'll say the Democrats, because that's in essence what it is, the Democrats initially in the House through their inquiry, and now the Democrats in the Senate and their push. So the attorneys have done a really, really good job dissecting the inaccuracies or the falsehoods of the different claims that have been made by the Democrats. And, you know, the only wrinkle now, and I call it a wrinkle, is what's going to happen with the witnesses. And primarily in light of the recent quote-unquote bombshell, although it's really not a bombshell, but that came from John Bolton. So once they finish today, once the attorneys wrap up the opening today, then there's going to be, I think, a question and answer session and subsequently a vote on whether or not witnesses are going to be called.
Yeah. Do you feel like I do that this John Bolton stuff is just this enormous yet another proof positive that the Democrats are focused, along with their buddies in the media, to make sure that we never hear or understand the flaws in their case, and that John Bolton, I mean, they dropped what supposedly was a bombshell so the media could report that instead of the defense attorney's points, which are bombshells. Do you agree with me about that? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think what the Democrats are trying to do here is to just extend this for as long as possible and to try to hammer home different points. You know, when one piece of the narrative falls apart, then they come with another piece. So, you know, and that's what it's going to be. I mean, it's their goal is to try to extend this, because the president's lawyers really did a good job before the Bolton testimony came out. They did a great job dissecting and basically destroying the
yes.
narrative. They came out and said
yeah.
that there was no quid pro quo. There was no conditionality on any of the funds. The funds were released ahead of time. The Ukrainians didn't even know about it until after the funds were released. And then they went through the 17 witnesses, and none of them ever had any personal knowledge of any conditionality. And they did a great job. And then what do you have from a timing standpoint? You have Bolton coming out on the second day that the president's lawyers are starting to introduce, you know, starting to rebut their case. And Bolton gives his testimony, or it's not even testimony. It's a leak that comes from a book.
It's a leak, right, because so, he's got a book coming out. Great.
Correct. So the timing is very suspicious, and it's just a way for them to keep this relevant. All right? The lawyers have debunked their narrative, so here comes John Bolton. And if the lawyers debunk Bolton's narrative, another thing is going to come. It's just the, it's their playbook. It's the way they've done this from the beginning. And I truly hope that Republicans in the Senate stand strong and forget about these additional witnesses. The witnesses are not, they're not necessary. They're not appropriate. You know, the House had every single opportunity to prepare their case, and it's not the Senate's job now to take it to, you know, to finish or to supplement the record because of the House's inability to get it done. They could have, you know, they could have pushed, you know, the executive privilege argument. They could have issued subpoenas. They could have waited for a court to issue its ruling, but they didn't do any of that. And instead, what they did is that they quickly, based on their hatred of the president, impeached him. They voted on it, and they sent it after weeks. They sent it to the Senate, and now realizing that their case is being, you know, basically annihilated by the lawyers. Now they're calling for Bolton to testify, for witnesses to testify. But keep in mind that if they do that, it's going to be they're going to be hard-pressed to have one person testify without allowing others to testify. For example, Biden, you know, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden.
Adam Schiff. How about the whistleblower? How about the whistleblower who started it all, right?
You don't even hear about the whistleblower anymore.
No.
Go ahead. I mean, Adam Schiff also.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I wanted to play a little bit of devil's advocate on what you said, but I mean, there are good points on both sides. I mean, a lot of people, some people that I respect a lot say that the longer impeachment goes, the more Republicans win. I mean, Donald Trump is raising a ton of money on it. His numbers seem to be going up, although there are contradictory ones, and I don't always believe polls. You know, he's doing great. So if the Democrats want to hitch their wagon to this star, I say more power to you. And yet I understand completely that Republicans should not allow Democrats to dictate the terms of this and to do their investigations for them. So, you know, I see both sides. That's a half devil's advocate. What do you think about that?
You know, it's a very tough call, and I wrote about this not too long ago, but, you know, one of the big concerns is you never know what's going to happen at trial, and you never know what someone's going to say. So on the one hand, yes, I mean, it's right now it's helping Trump, but nobody can afford too many bombshells, and you never know what's coming down the road. You don't know what Bolton's going to testify. You don't know, for example, if Bolton's testimony will somehow implicate Pompeo or someone else.
Yes.
So you really want to cut this. You know, you want to end this and move on. You know, keep in mind, by the way, since double jeopardy doesn't apply here, unless Republicans keep the Senate and take over the House, impeachment could very well rear its ugly head again, sadly enough, because it's been so politicized that they could just come up with something else. So
they
will. I do understand.
They will.
Yeah, they could very well do that. And, you know, I understand that it's helped the president so far, but in my opinion, I would just put an end to it. It doesn't help the country, and that's the most important thing.
Right. And I have been persuaded of that as well. Let me take a short break here, and we will continue this. And if there's any news on Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump, I'm going to look for it, and we can hopefully touch on that a little bit as well. We've got more time with our guest, Elad Hakim, and you can find him at thethoughtfulconservative.wordpress.com. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back on Spouting Off right after this. Thank you. This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening, and if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Thanks for staying with us. This is Karen Cataline. You're listening to Spouting Off. And we are talking to a wonderful guest, Elad Hakim, a political writer and commentator and an attorney. We're talking about impeachment. Gee, I wonder why. But I have one of those questions that I hear again and again from people, from listeners, from callers, from everybody. And it's the one that I keep thinking about, too. And if I've got an attorney here now, you know, I don't know that you're a constitutional attorney, but I bet you know better than I do. In civil law, if you make false accusations, if you take someone to court based on a lie, if you, frame somebody for something or false prosecution, you get prosecuted for it. Why, oh, why are these people who are trying to pull the wool over all of our eyes, when and if, God willing, we finally see the truth, which is that the left had nothing, knew they had nothing, but just wanted to destroy and remove a president. If it's proven, you know where I'm going with this, that they did put on a false prosecution with nothing but hearsay that a judge would throw out of court, why can't they be prosecuted?
Well, one, impeachment, keep in mind, is not a, it's not a legal, it's not a, it's not a matter of law. It's
quasi-judicial.
So it's a political process. It's not a legal process. So if you find that people made false claims while under oath to Congress, for example, then you can potentially prosecute them or you can potentially seek some sort of redress against them. But as far as falsely pursuing an impeachment, I don't really know. I mean, I don't really think that there's any real recourse for that. It's a political process, and that's why it's supposed to be bipartisan. That's part of the reason it shouldn't be politicized, and that's also part of the reason that all the power is not given to one, you know, to the House or the Senate, so that
of
it's
course.
Kind of a way of checks and balances, but. So there's a distinction between, you know, falsely pursuing an impeachment, which is what this is, basically, and falsely making, knowingly making false allegations or comments to Congress, which is a whole other story. And that could
be
part of the reason they don't want to call Schiff. It could be reason they don't want to call the whistleblower, because they have some explaining to do. You know, they have some.
Well, and he would be lying under under oath if he lies, right?
Correct.
And then you can get him for lying under oath.
Correct.
Right. Well, and so then the question is, why are the Democrats continuing to push for witnesses when they know that if they do push for witnesses, the first witness they're going to subpoena, I hope, is the whistleblower, followed by Joe Biden, followed by Adam Schiff for lying.
Well, some of this could be posturing. I mean, some of this could be posturing because that's the counter argument. You're exactly right. I mean, be careful what you wish for, because if you want Bolton to come testify, you better be ready to have A, B, and C come as well. It could be posturing, but we'll see. I mean, we're going to find out soon enough because they're going to vote on it
on Friday, this coming. We were talking off air. Again, we're talking to Elad Hakim. And I'm so glad that we're connected on Facebook so I could find you and then have you on my show. And it's just delighted. It's delightful to have you. We were talking about this very, very new piece of information that has been announced. They kind of teased it yesterday. Donald Trump is working his patootie off during impeachment. And it says, Fox headline, Trump unveils Middle East peace plan with two-state solution, tunnel connecting the West Bank and Gaza. You mean maybe they're going to take the terror tunnel and turn it into a pedestrian tunnel? I don't know. I have some thoughts about a two-state solution, and we haven't had a chance to really look yet at what this proposal involves. I doubt that Benjamin Netanyahu and Trump would propose something that would make Israel unsafe. But what are your thoughts on this, just hearing this for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think Netanyahu is always thinking for the best, you know, the well-being of the state of Israel. I do have to add that, you know, I don't know if politics plays a role here at all into, you know, the timing of this decision, only because I feel that Netanyahu is sadly being subjected to the same type of treatment that Trump has been subjected to in the U.S. as far as an effort by some on the left to remove him by way of these charges that he's facing. You know, there have been a lot of good legal scholars and legal minds in America that have opined that these charges that he's facing are absurd and they're ridiculous. And sadly, it seems to be very similar to what our president is going through here in America. The other thing that goes into this
don't forget that, okay? Because I want to say that the players who are behind this are the same people. It's not like this is a conspiracy theory. Please don't forget what you were going to say. I just got to throw that in. This is how the left, the hard left, rolls. They accuse people in order to shut them up, to destroy them so that they can put forth their globalist socialist agenda. Do we have absolute facts on this? No. But do we know that Obama inserted himself in the Israeli elections while he was a sitting president? Yeah. Did the Democrats impeach him for it? Heck no. All right. I feel better now. Go ahead.
Now, the other thing I wanted to say is, I don't know a lot about this. I need to read more about this two-state solution. But obviously, as you know, you have to have two willing sides. So, you know, as grand as this may be, you know, and as historic as this may be, it's got to have two willing partners. And so
exactly.
It's a good test as to the sincerity of those who have been wanting to, you know, to give, you know, to harm the state of Israel. It's a good test for them now to see whether they truly do want peace or whether this is just all for naught again. So, but it's definitely a good start. And there are concessions. There are serious concessions that were made by Israel also. But we'll see.
Isn't
we'll see.
isn't this reminiscent of a time when, I don't forget under which president, when Israel gave them, offered to give the Palestinians, and I don't like to call them Palestinians because they're not Palestinians. They're Jordanians. They're Arabs. They're Arab Muslims that could be at home in any of the Arab countries today. Just ask Robert Spencer about, he just wrote a book about that. It's a myth. But nonetheless, when was it that they were offered 95% of what they wanted and they rejected it? It was during Yasser Arafat's time, but I'm not sure I know the president. Was it Jimmy Carter or... If you remember,
oh, I don't know. I think that was when Jimmy Carter was president. I was pretty young.
Right, then it must have been Clinton. But they were offered a two-state solution. They were offered exactly what they wanted in order to have peace, but they don't want peace. And everybody with a brain knows that if they accept anything and say, "Okay, now we'll have peace," then they don't have a good reason for waging war against Israel and pushing them into the sea. Am I wrong?
Correct. No, 100%. 100%. Although I think part of this plan, if I remember hearing now, the one that was announced today, requires, for example, Hamas to demilitarize their zone.
That's going to happen.
I mean, it's it may be utopian in nature, but I think that's one of the conditions. So we'll see. I mean, listen, you never know until you try. The alternative is to consistently have deaths, dead Israelis and dead Jews and war and fighting. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. If there's a possibility, then it's worth a shot. No, I mean...
Well, I'll tell you what I think, and we may finally have found a tiny bit of a disagreement. See, as a talk show host, I love disagreement. If I have guests who I do respect, if I agree with them all the time, it makes for not as interesting talk radio. And I'm not sure that you would disagree with the following, but I'll tell you. In my humble opinion, after watching this, shorter than a lot of people. I mean, people have been watching it and are experts far greater than I am. What I think is that the only way you will have peace in the Middle East with Israel and its neighbors is if Israel becomes so incredibly strong that, and it got close to this at one time, that its Arab neighbors consider it an ugly fact of life that they're just not going to mess with, rather than concessions, because many people know that the Arab mindset is all about honor. It's less about what you offer and more about honor and pride. It just is a very different kind of mindset than we have in America, in which we think if we make concessions, people will respect us. Now, I think that Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu, are far from appeasers. They're just not. That's not who they are. That's not how they're built. And so there's something very interesting going on here. I don't know what it is. It'll be fun to watch it unfold. But I don't think for one minute that Donald Trump would do this, not only without Netanyahu's support, but in order to show the world that they are working together for a solution. You think?
I agree with you with this caveat question. Mm-hmm. I think that Israel right now is clearly the strongest militarily in the Middle East. I mean, they're stronger than any, including Iran. The issue that you have to consider is public perception. Let's assume that Israel comes across as so much stronger than everyone else. It seems to be that that's the case now, but that isn't necessarily preventing Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, whoever it is, from shooting rockets or whatever it is into Israel. And because Israel has to worry about public perception, how everything is perceived, how is that going to necessarily eliminate or prevent these countries from consistently doing what they're doing? Even if Israel is so much stronger, I mean, you'd think that they'd have a deterrent now, but...
Well, that's why they have an iron dome, right? That's why they need an iron dome, because they live with neighbors who will never quit, who will never stop. In that sense of persistence, they're not unlike the radical left. Only the radical left is not as, well, I won't even say that. They just never quit. No matter how wrong they are, no matter how they've been shown to be wrong, they never quit. And as for the PR problem, Israel will always have a PR problem. And I'm a fan of an organization called Honest Reporting that is solely dedicated to trying to reverse some of the false accusations in the media, because people are just so prone to Jew hatred. We tend to be the canaries in the mineshaft. Whenever someone needs a scapegoat, you know, they blame Jews. That doesn't mean there aren't some bad Jews, but I think that that's always going to be the case. I don't think that we can appease public perception. I mean, remember when Israel, and I'm going on a bit, but remember when Israel was going door to door and endangering their own citizens so that they wouldn't have any innocent casualties?
Yes.
Did they get any credit for that? No. No, they didn't.
No, that's exactly the point I was going to make. And, you know, you brought it up exactly right. They drop flyers. They go from door to door.
Yeah.
But that's part of what makes them who they are and what makes them special, because they don't kill, you know, needlessly kill innocent civilians.
And I'm not against that. I think that's important to do. But I also think that it doesn't afford them any great publicity when you got rabid Jew haters that want to hate you anyway, you know?
It's a very, very tough, obviously, it's a very tough issue. Do you,
yes.
You know, you don't want to appease, but you don't want to, but if you play hardball all the way, where's it going to get you? It's a really difficult.
Play hardball. I mean, China plays hardball, and we don't have people in the U.S., in the United States yet. It could happen, in which they're having BDS against China, you know? It's an upside down world.
The same argument can be made with Trump and his reaction after the retaliation by Iran, right? There were some people who were calling for a strong response, but he held back. And, you know, to your argument, we know Iran's going to continue, but it was it's not going to stop them. They're not going to come to the table and say, you know what, let's be friends. But you have to try, because otherwise you're just leading down the road to a potential catastrophe.
Yeah.
I hear you and I agree with you. It's just so difficult. It's such a balance that it's so difficult.
We need to take a very quick break, and then we're going to wrap up with Elad Hakim, and we'll wrap up the show. Can you stay with us for another short break?
Sure.
Thank you. Hold on, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Are you confused about Medicare and your options? Are you turning 65? Would you like some clarity about your options? My name is Anita McAllister. I'm a licensed agent who specializes in Medicare. Call me at 970-515-6882 to set up a no obligation, no cost appointment to learn about what's right for you.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back with our final few minutes with Ilad Hakim, a political writer, commentator, and attorney. What's your latest piece out there, Ilad?
Oh, boy, what was the latest piece? I just wrote a piece about executive privilege, actually. Whether it applies and the consequences associated, obviously, with invalidating it when it comes to some of the witnesses that they want to call. So it's a good read. Where can we find it? This one I actually put on Medium. This one I published on my own. And it's on my Facebook webpage if anyone wants to follow it, Thoughtfully Conservative. So you can find me on Facebook at Thoughtfully Conservative and on Twitter at ThoughtfulGOP. And come jump into the conversation regardless of where you guys stand.
Exactly. So does that mean that GOPers aren't very thoughtful? Because if you said that, I'd say, yeah, there are definitely some who aren't.
I'll tell you after the vote on the witnesses.
Great. And where else can they tell everybody about your website, too? Because I pulled up a bunch of your articles. And just tell everybody how they can find you on your website, because you're all over the place. And, of course, you're fluent in English and Hebrew, and you were born in Israel. Yeah.
Absolutely. They can find me at Thoughtfully Conservative, you know, at WordPress, and then or the Thoughtful Conservative at WordPress, and then Thoughtfully Conservative on Facebook and Thoughtful GOP on Twitter. And then, obviously, Ilad Hakim, PA, is my law firm. So if you have any legal questions, you can feel free to reach me that way.
That is great. And you sound real young. I have a picture of you somewhere. And there is a law somewhere that all Jews have to go to Florida at some point in their life. And you just went, I guess, a little early. So you hail from Boca Raton.
I'm 46. I'm not that young.
Well, you're younger than me. So anyway, Ilad, what's that?
It's all the way you live your life, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. It is just a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you, Ilad Hakim. Visit him, follow him, and it was great having a chat with you. Take care, and I'll be reading you.
Thanks so much.
Great. My pleasure. So that just about wraps it up. One program note. And that is, if you'd like to hear me on Main Street Radio Network this coming Thursday, and that's going to be January 30th on the Alan Nathan Show, all you got to do is you can listen live at the MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, or you can listen to the podcast later, and I'll do my best to keep up on posting those podcasts so you can hear them. It is always fun, always great guests. We don't do call-in, we do guests, but have fascinating guests on that show. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. Thanks to Doug, my producer, who is working with a bit of a cold on BBS Radio. And thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be, oh, so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.